Today on Real Life Radio.
I know what he has saved me from. It's so bad, it's so sick, it's so perverse. Oh, Pastor, tell us. Ain't gonna happen, because you don't need to know. I'm trying to constantly forget, and I thank God. The Bible says, God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sin from you. Somebody say amen to that.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Part 2 continues in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. This portion of Scripture through the Apostle Paul is both the divine revelation of God's love towards us and the undeniable evidence of the deity of Christ. The Bible is an amazing expression of God's truth. By the Holy Spirit, God breathed His Word through man to give us His promises of a future and a hope. From the time sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, God's plan was to redeem mankind of their sin because God loves us, even in our lost condition, and He pursued us by taking on the form of a man, humbling Himself to the point of death, that being a death on the cross. Today, Pastor Jack tells us how we can come to God with confidence through His Son, Jesus Christ, and only through Him. Our assurance is in what Jesus did on that cross. By His death, He opened a new life-giving way into the presence of God. Our guilty conscience is now cleansed, having been washed by the blood of Christ. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
But you introduce the fact that Jesus Christ saves us from all sin. Let me tell you something. I'm one happy camper right here, right now, because I tell you what. I know, you will never know. I know what He has saved me from. It's so bad, it's so sick, it's so perverse. Oh, pastor, tell us. Ain't gonna happen, because you don't need to know. I'm trying to constantly forget. And I thank God, the Bible says, God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sin from you. Somebody say amen to that. He says, I will never remember your sins. You say, Jack, how does that happen? Come to the cross. Come to Jesus. Meet Him. It all begins in your heart. When you're convicted of your sin and you say, oh, God, help me. I'm straight bound for hell. Jesus says, listen, you can change course right now. You come to me and you'll be saved. You'll be rescued. It's a choice you make. Nobody winds up in hell without stepping over the body of Christ. You got to work hard to get there. Think of it. Every day, God convicting you and inviting you. The cross, it's a bloody work, the cross. Only once a year, as I mentioned last time, the priest would go in. This is where we left off in our study. The priest would go in once a year on behalf of the nation in Israel to the temple, into the holy place, into the holy of holies. And he would go there, listen, the Bible says, not without blood. He had to go there with blood. God prescribed blood of innocence. An innocent, perfect animal would be offered up. The blood would be taken. And by, listen, by substitution, God would honor the blood of an animal on behalf of the sinner. And the high priest would represent the nation. And the Passover lamb was offered up. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice. He's there and proclaiming our salvation from the cross. It says, and He yielded up His spirit. Verse 51, then behold, the veil of the temple in Jerusalem. Remember, it was some 60 feet high and 4 to 8 inches thick, was torn in two from top to the bottom. Notice, not from the bottom to the top, from the top to the bottom. That means God tore that veil at the temple. When Jesus died and said, Tetelestai, it's finished. What was finished? He didn't say, you're finished. He didn't say, I'm finished on the cross. He said, it's finished. What's finished? The purchase of salvation for all of mankind. It's finished. Price paid in full. Debt canceled. How'd you like to get an email from your mortgage company? Somebody came by the mortgage company today and paid your mortgage off. Can you imagine? Amen. Someone say, amen. Jesus did that for us regarding our sins, regarding our soul. The Bible there tells us that the earth began to shake. That's awesome. Can you imagine? The temple, the veil from top to bottom is torn. The earth starts shaking. They have an earthquake in Jerusalem. And the Bible says rocks begin to split open. Rocks begin to split open. You can't split open rocks. You can pound on them. You can break them up. But God sovereignly, without a hammer, began to split rocks open. Listen, if God can split rocks open, I think that's a message of announcement to your heart. Your heart may be as hard as a rock. And God will split your heart open, and that's a good thing. You might say today, I don't think I can get saved. I'm so bad. Oh, don't flatter yourself. You think you're such a big whopper of a sinner that Jesus' blood can't handle you? Grow up. Listen, come to Christ. Stop hiding behind that excuse. Face reality. Jesus is bigger than your sin. Just go to him. Call out to him. The temple, the veil was torn, opening up the way that man could see inside. This is kind of interesting to me. The priest, the populace could look inside a place that was forbidden, that only once a year the high priest could go with blood. All of a sudden, Jesus dies, the earth shakes, rocks split open, the veil is torn, and the way is made clear. People could peek in. Can you imagine people walking by now, this all of this debris that's laying around and all of the drama that's taking place, and they look and they could peer inside to where only the high priest could have gone for thousands of years. Not only was man let in, but it's obviously the announcement that Christ made the way. And in a sense, God was let out. A lot of people today in religion love to have God in a box. Didn't Israel carry God around in a box? God in a box. The Ark of the Covenant. And then one day God broke all the rules. He says, you can't make a house for me to contain me. Listen, I hope you don't worship a localized God. The God of the Bible is everywhere. Sometimes when we pray, a family in the foyer last week, beautiful, three kids and a mom came to me, all tearful. You could tell that they'd been tired of crying. And they said, my husband, their dad, has left us for a coworker of his. And they're sick, they're sick. You can see, they're sick. And I said, listen, I saw their grief, and I said, listen, let's hold hands, and I'm gonna ask you in advance to forgive me for my prayer. And I held their hands, and I said, Father in heaven, you see the grief that that's causing to these kids and to this wife, but it's nothing compared to what it's causing in your heart. And God, if this man is a child of yours, I'm asking you, and I went like this, I'm asking you right now, at this very moment, that he'd become deathly sick, that he would look upon that adulterer that's laying next to him and begin to vomit. That he'd be so convicted of sin. He'd fall on his face and cry out to you, God. And I mean to tell you, I don't know if that was from the Lord or not, but I would not have wanted to have been that guy if God was going to answer my prayer. Because sin puts the hurt on you. I got a letter a week and a half ago. Listen, anonymous. I hate anonymous letters, and I don't read them. You know I don't read them. If it's signed, I read it. No signature. So it came into the front office, and one of the secretaries read it, and against the rules, brought it to me and said, I think you need to read this. And it was a woman whose husband goes to this church, and she said, my husband raises his hands in church, he praises God, and he's the most mean, wicked, abusive, horrific, ungodly man at home, and I can't take it anymore, and I'm writing you this letter to let you know of his level of hypocrisy. We don't know his name either. And she said, if you hear of a suicide in the next few hours, it will be me. We had no recourse. All we could do was pray. Hey, listen, husband, if that's you, God have mercy on your soul. Amen. Repent and follow Christ. Thank God the Lord doesn't treat us like you treat your wife. Serious. God does not look upon our hands raised in church as though it's somehow impressive. He looks to see who we are. Are we children of the cross? Have we gone to the cross with our sins? Do we hate our sin? Because it killed God on the cross. Do we hate it? And so when that veil was rent, Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And every Jew understood exactly what Jesus was saying at that moment. That great high priest of ours walked into that temple in heaven, as it were, that altar. By representation of his death, he brought the blood. And our great high priest walked out of that place with the assurance of forgiveness with eternal life. He does that. Through the blood of his cross, mankind driven from paradise because of sin, Jesus brings us near by his cross. You might say, well, how does that work in my life? Number one, listen, number one, you and I can come to God now with confidence through Jesus Christ. That's how we come to God. Don't you dare think that you can go to God on your own like that. You come to God through Jesus Christ. Number two, you and I can draw forgiveness from the bank of grace, as it were. We can draw from the river of blood that Jesus provides. I don't remember the old hymn, something about the blood, the fountain of the blood. When I plunge beneath the blood of Emmanuel's veins. Wow, graphic, is it not? How does this work for me? Thirdly, I can be assured that I am forgiven because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's what he's done. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22 says, so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, that is Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Aren't we glad? Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Come! He can save you to the uttermost, since he always lives to make intercession for them, for us. And so in the Old Testament, when that veil was torn, that holy place was revealed. Old Testament, nobody could go in. New Testament, all can come through Christ. Again, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. This is in the New Living Translation, this one. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter into heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. I want to pause for effect. Look at it. Think of it. We can come into the presence of God because of what Jesus has done. Why do we not spend more time in the presence of God? Are you struggling with sin, Christian, in your life? Temptation in your life? Listen, be mindful of this. Dwell in the presence of God continually, and all these sins that beset you like little foxes that spoil the grapes, that sneak through the little holes in the fence. You've got your home all secure. You've got your Bible study out there. You've got your 1 year Bible. You're going through this and that. You pray for your family, but there's a little hole in the fence. And the little fox goes in and steals the grapes. Listen, sin does that. It comes in and it starts to nip. There's things that are just, it's just nipping at you. And listen, you don't have to live like that for the rest. You don't have to live like that anymore. You just draw into the presence of God. And listen, you go where now by the blood of Jesus allows you to go into the presence of God, but sin can't make it in. All of the lust and all of the addictions and all of the stuff has to stay outside. It can't make it in. Get close to him and that stuff will leave you. You see, Pastor, is that easy? It's that easy. It is that easy. All these things that are just destroying my Christian witness, listen, you can go where it cannot go. Leave it. Oh, but he goes on in verse 20 of Hebrews 10, by his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the veil, the curtain, into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water, that is the word of God. This is the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. If you were to take Hebrews chapter 10 and drop it into the mind of a priest 3,000 years ago, they would have said, oh, if such a thing, that would be wonderful if that could be true. Imagine. Oh, but it is true. It is true. Okay, you guys ready? Are you guys awake? Okay, I'm going to give you a little lightning round here. So get your pen out. And I've been a little hard on you this morning, but I'm going to go a little harder. Have you ever had a deep tissue massage? Just when I thought about crying, the person says, okay, that was warm up. So just pull out a pen or a stick and bite it. Stay seated and listen. And you don't want to get up in the next several moments because everybody will know that you're guilty of something I'm reading about right now. So Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. The Pope, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, Bono. I don't know why I thought of him. You name it. Me. Galatians 5:19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality. By the way, that's the Greek word porn. Isn't that amazing? That's where it comes from, pornea. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. Sorcery is pharmakei. You ever heard that word before? Pharmacy? Pharmakei? Hallucinogenic drugs. Interesting. It's interesting because they use the word sorcery. When you think of sorcery, do you think of like Mickey Mouse with his little wizard hat on, right? It's interesting because the ancients have always believed that hallucinogenic drugs lead you into the spiritual realm. Thus the word sorcery, coming from the word pharmakei. Dissensions. You just can't get along with anybody, including yourself. Division. Trying to get people on your side at all cost. Envy. Drunkenness. Wild Super Bowl parties. Kidding. Just kidding. Wild parties. Wild parties. And other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I've told you before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Bible says you're not going to heaven. No, I'm a Christian. You're not going to heaven. Oh, but I've been a member of the church. You're not going to heaven. If this is your lifestyle, if this is how you live, and this is what you live for, you're not a Christian. You only say you are entitled, but you're not. Because listen, if you couldn't speak, you were mute and you were unable to speak. People could only judge you by your actions. That's the reality of who we are. My Christianity is not proven in this pulpit for 1 hour speaking to you right now. My Christianity is proven in the 23 hours that remain in this day. What do I do when I'm alone? What do I do when I'm driving? How do I speak to my wife? Listen, if you interviewed my kids, would they be able to confess to you, yeah, my dad's a believer in Jesus? That's the reality. That's the truth. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous, circle the word unrighteous, who are they, will not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous are not going to heaven. Now, just leave it up on the screen right now or leave your Bible open to this portion of Scripture here. Jack, you just said a moment ago that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's correct. Wouldn't that make you unrighteous? Yes. Hang on now, I'm going somewhere with this. Aren't you condemned? Yes. Well, then why would you be different? You think you're going to go to heaven, but an unrighteous person living that kind of lifestyle, you say they're going to go to hell? I didn't say that. The Bible says that. Then what's the difference? The difference is the blood. The blood of Christ is the difference. That when that blood is applied to your life, you are transformed. It's a supernatural act by the Holy Spirit in the life of the true believer. Do not be deceived. The word in Greek means stop it. Isn't that amazing? It's emphatic. It doesn't say, we're hoping you're not deceived. The word means stop being deceived. Watch this. Neither fornicators, you know what a fornicator is? That either it's two single people, not married, two single people having sex with each other, or porneia. They don't even have, they could, any form of sexual immorality. Okay? By the way, that also includes, there's a type of sin that includes both fornicators and adulterers. If there's a single person having sex with a married person, that is fornication and adultery. Nor idolaters. Worshippers of things. What does that mean? Finding your identity, value, and meaning in stuff. Do you find yourself seeing your self-worth because you have a Porsche, a Ferrari, or you think, you know, hey, look, we're so depraved. I've got a 1967 Volkswagen that is awesome and it wins car shows. Amen. You say, truly, that can't be an idol. Oh, yeah, it could. Yeah, it could. It does. Listen, it could be a shrine in your head that you've set up. Something whereby it becomes your identity. Is it your money? Is it your knowledge? Is it your position? Watch out. Nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, always fighting, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Here's, look at verse 11. Just when you're about to run out of the building with your hair on fire, Paul grabs a bucket of ice water and throws verse 11 on us. And such were some of you. You could see the Corinthians go, whew. And such were some of you. How do you read that verse? Do you go like this? Do you hear those descriptions and go, oh, I can't believe it. What? Oh. Listen, wrong response. When you read it the way God would have you to read it, you go like this. Okay, are you ready? Are you watching? When he reads, no fornicators, nor idolater, right? No covetous person. See, what's going on? The Holy Spirit is going, to me. You say, well, I don't like that. Tough. We need him. You're not going to go to heaven without him. And he cannot, will not forgive us of sins that are not repented of. He won't do it. We have to agree with him. Ek homologeo. Say the same word that God says about sin. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed. That's not water baptism. That's a reference to the Bible, the word. But you were sanctified. What does that mean? That means God took you out of the world and put you in a new world. But you were justified. Listen, this is amazing. Are you listening? Declared righteous by God. You want to remember simply, it sounds kind of silly-like, but it's really accurate. Justified. What does that mean? God declares to you, Randy, I'm going to pick on you. God says to Randy, God says, I know your past, but you've come to Christ. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, this is what I do. I apply my son's righteousness to your life. You're stamped, redeemed. I take you out of the world. You'll never be happy in the world again, Randy. You can go back to the world if you want. You'll never be happy. Because my spirit's in you, you can go back there and try it. Listen, once you're saved, everybody, you can't even sin good anymore.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you follow Jesus Christ and that you put your trust in him and in his word. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. April's book of the month, I gotta tell you, it's a must read. You see, never before have current events come together so perfectly to align with Bible prophecy. And quite frankly, there's no one better to share with us this profound biblical truth than our very own Pastor Jack Hibbs. His new book is called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. In this book, you'll discover how things are falling right into place, just as the Bible predicted some thousands of years ago. Also, what's coming up next on the prophetic calendar. You're also going to see what to watch out for, why Israel is the most controversial hotspot in the world, and the role that Russia plays prophetically in this global conflict. Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate Endgame. It's our gift to you for your gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, that's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.